Yakshini.
Hello, and welcome to the Saladcast on Sunday, the 9th of February, 2020. I'm your host, Dan Train. Joining me today, Zachary Burgess.
I'm always tired.
And Robert Kemp.
And Windy.
No, just tired.
Just tired.
More tired than usual, which has been real bad the last couple of days. I slept so much that it still hasn't recovered.
I've been ill for the last week.
Oh, no.
I mean, I assume that I'm ill in some way.
Yeah, you're just partially ill.
Yeah.
Because you and I are quite similar, I think, to the illness, and that we'll get normally get like all.
Well,
of,
it's probably we'll because I come over to your house every week.
Well, no, not just in that respect, but I mean, like we suffer from illness in the same way. Like some people get all of the symptoms of a thing all at once, and then it's like I'm ill. I tend to get like a round of symptoms. Like there'll be some of them, and it'll be like a sliding scale of symptoms all the way through. It's like it's frustrating.
A round.
So I've never Yeah, you know, like a row your boat. Sort of round.
Oh, I see. You know,
I'll get a little bit of the sniffles first, and then the headache, and then that will start fading out into the phlegm phases.
They all overlap,
and then I'll be left with nothing but cough, and then the various symptoms that result from excessive coughing, like extreme muscular discomfort and lack
merrily,
of sleep.
Merrily.
Life is but a
yeah. I could definitely hear. Suddenly, your illness, Egg.
Can you?
Yeah, I heard a sniffle.
Does it really sound that different?
Yeah, a little.
I mean, you are permanently cough territory.
Well, yeah. That's what it's like. Sometimes when I think that I might be getting ill, it actually makes the cough better. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, no. The cough has been suppressed. That must mean something worse is on the way.
Yeah.
Even in my... ill state at the moment. Storm Kiara? Is it Kiara or Kieran?
One of the Kiara?
Two. Kiara?
Sounds Irish to me.
Could be. Anyway, bitch managed to destroy my fence this morning.
Oh, really? You're like, sometimes barely held together fence.
I mean, it's already, yeah. So it's been flapping in the wind for like a year. But, yeah, the gate fell off. Of all things, the gate fell off.
Oh, the gate.
Okay.
So we're out there in the wind and rain, reattaching it. The point where I think I've done in my wrist. Done it in. I can't fix fences.
Was it the hinges that came off? It came off. Or...
You've got crazy.
Dad
quiet,
just went incredibly quiet for some reason.
Well, I'm speaking normally, so that's.
That's not good.
Okay. Technical hitches.
Then just talk loudly when you start talking, and hopefully that will force
fix
it
everything.
To...
Yeah,
fine, I will.
Yeah, that worked. It might not, but yep. We'll hear you.
I was asking if the gate had come off its hinges.
Yeah, it totally did.
Well, that's like an effect of the rest of the fence being wobbly, though, right?
Because
it's just like the hinges just like sit on top of the other part, basically, don't they?
Well, that kind of gate hinge screwed in, so it's like the hinges are attached to the right hand post in this instance, and they're screwed directly into the wood on both sides.
Yeah, but I meant the actual two parts of the hinge just sort of sit on top of each other, don't they?
Oh, no, not like that. It pulled the screws out.
No. Well, that's also helped by the rest of the fence being more wobbly than it should be.
Probably, yeah. Wedged their way out. So we basically, like, yeah, we reattached the hinge with great difficulty because me and my weakened state had to hold everything up.
Right. And you were
and
in a
prop
storm.
It up with chocks.
I mean, not a storm, but it was.
We've lost you again.
Yep, Dan's got too quiet again.
I'm just talking normally. I haven't changed anything.
Oh, nope. Something clicked. Oh. Now you're back.
Oh, well, I'm not touching anything. Everything is normal.
Yeah, that was definitely like a. That sounded like a cable thing.
Yeah,
cable. I didn't touch any cables.
Cable or bad connection or something like that.
Let me.
That's what it sounds like.
I mean, it's an XLR thing, so it's just and then it's straight into the firewire thing.
Yeah, it was making a bit of noise then.
Maybe I'll play with the. Good
game. Yeah, no, it's gone quiet.
That? The... Hello. Is that? Oh, maybe this thing is giving up the ghost.
Maybe.
Let me test.
You're all over the place.
Let me check with my own test.
Turn me up in the headphones. Jay-Z is shouting at you. Turn me up. Yeah, so this gate.
What is this podcast?
Yeah, what is this podcast?
Is this happening?
Gatecast. It's Gamergate. It's the gate to my house is Gamergate.
I don't know what else to change.
Well, just try not to move too much.
I'm not moving. I mean, everything is like solid. Like, I mean, I've got like a proper mic stand and everything, so I'm not touching anything. And I haven't been at all, so I don't know what it could be. I'm trying to test.
We'll let
it
you
myself.
Know when it's good and bad. It will plow on.
Well, yeah, you won't be able to hear me. Oh well.
Well, we can hear. As I say, we can, but you're super, super quiet, so we can tell you when you're super, super quiet.
Oh, okay, fine.
What choice do we have?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how else to adjust anything because I can't tell what's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure when I test myself, I can't. You know, when I go into the menu and I use the begin test on the capture thing, it all seems totally.
Seems totally.
Oh, I assume that was him starting a test because it would meet him on the output.
Yeah, I'm pressing the button to begin test, you see. Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. Do I disappear from you when I'm testing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's me pressing the test buttons. Well, everything seems fine when I test.
Yeah, good.
Well, I mean, it hasn't changed.
It hasn't dipped for a little while. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there's not many moving parts here. Microphone, cable. Audio interface.
Yeah, wherever you've got it right now sounds okay.
Yeah, I haven't touched anything. God damn it. There's no difference.
Just look at it in the way you're looking at it right now.
I'm not looking at anything.
Maintain your gaze.
Damn it. Okay.
Don't divert too many more photons onto it.
Jesus Christ.
Fairness, we've had situations like that with the mics here every now and then.
Yeah, but
like,
I don't think it is my mic because it's like I can't tell it any different. I don't know. What can I do to test it?
I mean, can you see the if you go to the Windows control, can you see the current level somewhere? So you maybe would notice when it starts dipping.
Yeah. I fucking hate Windows sounds. They buried the settings, so it's impossible to find it.
Yeah.
Sound control panel. Here we go. Oh, there we go. Lines 1, 2 properties. Well, that's just at 100, the input.
Sure. But is there a way of actually seeing like a little blue or like an active level somewhere?
I don't know. Is there?
I don't know. I can't remember. Oh, no, it's normally on the just on the main panel, isn't it?
Yeah, on the recording panel. There's
Is. Yeah. Well, I mean...
Ooh. You got
that's
bass.
That's just my put my mouth right up to it. Okay. Well, I mean, it shows, but it's very low, but because yeah, I think it like just is low. Days, yeah. So I can't really see anything there unless I smack it.
We'll get a waveform going somewhere. Maybe get an Audacity running or something. I don't know. But even then, it'll be quite small.
Yeah, I'd have to. Yeah, maybe I can run up.
Never mind. It's fine right now. It's fine. Waver. It's still fine. It remains to be fine. Well,
can I monitor it with Goldwave or whatever?
I mean, you could, provided it's not in exclusive record mode.
Yeah. Would it be exclusive?
I think that's a setting in the control panel.
Record, monitor input. I'll put that on. And then device. Recording device is line 1. Oops, wrong one. Ah, there we go. Okay, that's monitoring. Looks perfectly fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it sounds fine at the moment. Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. Okay, yes. I've got the sort of flame graph up from Goldway, so I'll just sort of vaguely look at that, but I don't think it'd be any different. Slightly hypnotic. Okay, fine.
That's a good thing.
Okay.
Where did we get to in my gate round?
where are we coming back into this podcast?
Yeah, roughly now.
Who fucking knows?
Yeah. All I'm saying is, don't do labor whilst a little bit ill. It sucks.
I mean, you didn't have much choice.
I mean, no, it had to be done. That means we're going to have to get some handymen in finally to actually do the work. Because we can't
do it. You think?
Yeah. We actually, like, just to be sure, on the other side of the gate as well, to stop it from, like, randomly opening, because the latch and stuff is bad now as well. Like, we've just put a couple of chocks of wood over the other side, so we can't actually get out of that gate anymore.
Okay.
It's closed. It's like, good luck stealing anything from our back garden.
Because now it's all
now fence. You've got to chuck it over the fence. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Storm so that, Kiara.
Yeah, thanks. That was not fun. Neighbor is coughing yourself awake for most of the night, but yeah, there you go. I think I'll take the broken fence over the coughing myself awake. Thinking about it.
You guys are suffering.
I blame my half marathon that I ran last weekend.
Clearly, oh, did you run it?
It has bust up my immune system. Probably. Humble brag. Not really a humble brag, just a brag.
How'd it go?
All right. I got round. Comfortable enough.
Sweet.
2.5 hours. So not fast, but on time. It's a long old way.
Yeah, it's a long damn way. Do you slow down a lot at the end, I imagine?
Oh, so much, yes.
Yeah.
Because we were miles ahead of time for the first, like, 10 miles or so.
Right.
And then the final three were just atrocious.
Just hellish.
Yeah. My running partner ended up getting blisters sort of around mile 8. So it's like we slowed down a little bit for him. And then by like mile 10 or something, no, this is real bad. You just go. And I'm like, okay. I won't be going very fast. You might catch me. Yeah, he ended up 5 minutes behind, so that's okay. I don't feel too bad. Feel a little bad, but not too bad. So it was a thing. I beat my 10-mile PB on doing a half marathon. That's not how that's supposed to work.
What, if the first 10 miles?
First 10 miles, yeah. It was 10 minutes quicker than I've ever run it.
That's pretty good, 10 minutes.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I guess it's because you're surrounded by people doing it and stuff.
Yeah, I guess. Not how it should work. I should have been paced.
Oh, you're supposed to be pacing yourself. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the best way. It's just to do the same time all the way around. Maybe get quicker at the end if you can.
That seems
so
hard.
They say. So yeah, I'm not one for negative splits.
Negative splits, is that what they call it?
Yeah, yeah, because your split times for each mile go down.
Go down and down.
Yeah. It's like when you get to that, you know, when you're driving around doing a time trial or something, and you get that split time comes up and it says it's negative when you're ahead.
Yeah, but ahead of what, though?
That's your previous time, I guess.
Well, yeah, in this case.
Negative splits.
But then you haven't got data from half of this race.
I mean, not while I'm running it. I mean, I had my watch on, so I could see what I was doing, like, each mile.
Yeah, but I meant you per mile is different to the whole thing. Like, you didn't really technically have any data for after, like, mile 10, really. Because you'd never actually run that whole length in one go.
No, I hadn't. Yeah, I'd only ever run 10 miles. So going
further
than that was...
That's the furthest you'd ever run, is it?
That last 3.1 was...
So it was all personal bests for those last 3.1 miles.
That's true, technically, I guess. But they don't really count. Like the runners are a little bit funny about that. If it's the first time you've done it, it's not a PB. It's only a PB if you beat it.
Well, right. I mean, that kind of makes sense because you can't have a best out of one, I suppose.
I mean, I'm taking it. If you put it down on a sheet, what would I put for my personal best? Well, that one time I did it.
You'd put that down.
Yeah, of course you would.
Well, it's definitely a new lap record.
New lap record. What a great sound effect in episode one racing.
It plays that after your first lap, doesn't it?
Pretty sure it does. But that's because there's an implied old record by the NPCs.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Not just your best record.
Oh, yeah, it's not personal best, yeah. Fair enough. PB.
There's a new lap record. They don't really have PBs in games, do they?
Apart from literally racing games.
Well, I mean... Well,
probably in
and like Olympics games, I guess.
Well, I suppose they do, yeah, because like games tend to be like just about you, right? Like most of the, it's not like when you like, oh, I don't know, like the more realistic races, like Forza or something, they could probably like have like this is the actual lap record,
yeah,
around the track.
I mean, some do,
and then they could put your personal best next to it. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games must have PBs.
Yeah, probably.
Why do we always talk about that game?
Because it's an Olympic game. And we don't even care slightly about real Olympic games.
It's an Olympic game. Site, for some reason, that comes up. Like, we've tagged it multiple times.
Because it's got Sonic in it. That's why.
Yeah,
because I keep saying it might be good.
Yeah. Is this the Tokyo one?
Yes.
That's this it's year. Coming out. It's this ready year. For yeah. Mario to be an actual mascot.
I love the Olympics. The real Olympics, I mean.
The real Olympics. Should be good.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's good fun. No curling this year, though. Not the Winter Olympics.
I was like, there wouldn't be, would there?
No.
I saw the Nike like uniform type things for Olympic skateboarding. Pretty cool.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was reading the thing that like curling became super popular with the financial sector people because NBC on one of their side channels started showing it in America. Weirdly,
okay.
They had like you know what's normally a commercial news network or like financial news and all that stuff. They had curling on one of their sub channels because I guess the network needed somewhere for it to go.
Hmm.
So apparently, all these financial sector guys are now into curling.
Mate, they're probably just the like some super ridiculous like play to make use of all these old ice rinks that are still hanging around that no one cares about any longer. Because what the fuck is ice skating even? Like, you go to New York and there's like those ice rinks, and you're like, who ice skates?
I mean, people
do for fun.
Yeah, but not like. You could get more use out of that ice by scheduling some other events on the same ice.
They'd probably do some like dancing on ice there, or
even just like the hockey stadiums. Start using them for other things when there's not a fucking hockey match, which is like most of the time.
Yeah, but they need to practice. It's not like you have a training ground for ice hockey. You have your arena. Ice.
Yeah, but not like all the time.
Probably if it's a professional team.
But I bet there's quite a lot of amateur grade hockey rinks around the place.
Well, and they probably have other teams, right? They probably have a kids' league, and they probably have maybe the women's league as well. You know, so there's probably lots of leagues running.
They probably make the most out of it. To be fair, Zach, like,
yeah,
there's always space to fit in another event.
They probably have ice weddings.
Just imagine how many times you've been on a bowls green or an artificial bowls green not playing bowls.
Like never.
No, wrong.
I don't know if I've ever set foot on a bowls green.
Anytime you're in Stowmarket Leisure Centre,
which I'm not,
at the
when they put
all the play stuff.
Well, that's just a leisure centre.
Yeah, but it's on the bowls green.
It's not, but it's inside. It's not a bowls green.
It literally is a bowls green. It's just an inside bowls green.
I suppose. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll give you that one. I keep thinking the floor was like. Not just green all the time, like it was like they put green down for the.
No, that's why it had those trenches at the edge.
Oh yeah, I remember
where
now.
The balls go.
Oh, just where the dung beetles live. I do think some kind of battle bowls would be amazing.
Battle bowls.
Well, now you're just into the old classic situation of upgrade any sport by explosions, basically.
Yeah, or having a deck. Deck building mechanic in bowls.
Or just power ups.
Any kind of power ups. You get to get one really large ball.
That might be a bit overpowered.
Well, that's a risky strategy. It might take everything out, including the deck.
Yeah, well, I think that's what you'd want, though, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. I'd watch it. Split bowl. Splits into three smaller bowls halfway down somehow. Boules? Isn't that the French way of saying it? Boules?
Yes, slightly different game usually.
My aunt and uncle used to have a bowl set. Used to not know really how to do it properly.
Well, of course.
But they did have a really long corridor in the house, so it was pretty kid friendly.
Yeah, I've done that at my grandma's house before. Indoor bowls.
Indoor? Hmm.
You just need a corridor.
Remember the music teacher at Needham Market Mill?
Yes.
Yeah, and he was an Olympic bowlsist.
Yes.
Bowlsist. What do you do? I'm an Olympic bowlsist. I bowl. I don't know what's real good.
Rob literally can't handle this conversation in the state he's in.
Damn it! The laughter is bringing out bad times. I'm just gonna have to be stoic, man.
Yep.
For the rest of this. What do you call them? Bowls players. They're just bowls players. They're not bowlers.
I guess. Yeah. Boring.
I'm not really bowlers because that's Tim Pin bowling or cricket.
I mean, it could be bowlers.
Could be. Yeah.
Oh, I do apologize for my horrendous coughing. It might be time for a cough sweet.
Because that's not going to make any noise.
No, it's just going to make my voice sound weird. Not that it doesn't already. So, you know, net gain.
Net neutral.
Crispy. So, what else has been happening other than my infirmary?
Infirmary.
Information.
I mean, it could be infirmary.
My infirmed state.
Your infirmitude.
Infirminosity.
And Zach.
Whiskers from infirmary. Yeah. Welcome to the sick cast. Sick. So are we done? Are we newsing?
I guess.
Yeah, I think it's time for the news because there's not much this going on. Unless you've got some movie news or anything.
Maybe we watch that Horrible Histories movie.
Oh, really? The kids one.
It's bad.
Oh, is it?
It's bad.
That's a shame because that kid show was quite good. Wasn't it?
I don't really remember the show. I only remember like...
Well, I think the modern iteration of that show is maybe, you know, not as good.
Oh, okay.
I only really remember it in book form.
Well, yeah. Obviously the books were better as they were books.
You take that back. Yeah, so I watched that. I also, for some reason, I noticed it on Prime, and I thought I'd check it out. I watched the first volume of Ruby, that RWBY, right, Rooster Teeth joint.
All right.
That's far less well-made than I was expecting.
Well, I'm sure the first season probably is.
Why, was it from around the same time, or...?
Well, no, it's like 2013 or something.
But still, that's like aged at this point.
Yeah, but it's
pretty old.
I got like reboot vibes from some of the animation. It's like...
Sure, but it's like that is appropriate for the time.
Yeah, I suppose, it's a bit machinima, isn't it? But like, yeah. The whole thing is clearly made in that way still. You know, that Rooster Teeth thing, I guess.
Well, not quite, though.
No, it's not really... It's not machinima in the... like.
No, it's not literally made in a game.
Well, see, I thought it would be more... an anime, right, that would be done in that style, like, rather than it being 3D computer art with horrendous aliasing and occasionally terrible texture detail. I mean, you can look at the texture detail, but I advise against it.
Because it might cause you to give.
Yeah, it might.
Indeed. This is what happens.
But like...
And it's very cliche. Like, it's clearly trying to be, like, Hogwarts for combat. People, but with a hint of that anime vibe, anime ladies, but not really. And it's I don't know. I was expecting a little better, but it was nice to see Monty Oom's name again. I didn't realize he came up with this whole thing.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
Oh yeah, it really does. It really does make sense that it's a Monty Oom gig, but it was kind of just like, oh right, yeah. That guy. And then you go, oh, right, yeah. Oh,
well, at least they carried on with it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
And presumably made it better, although I haven't seen anything more than like 5-second adverts for it ever. I mean,
yeah, it must be good enough for it to have got into BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle.
I guess. But I feel like video game crossover insertions is getting to be quite a low bar at this point.
But for a, Japanese developer to bring in Western characters, technically.
Well, I guess we don't know how popular it might be in Japan.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is all right. It's got freaking Cortana in it.
I'm not sure I'd be able to watch it because they just use their normal voices a lot of the time. I recognize all of these people.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. There is definitely a little bit of that. But in a weird way, it kind of actually helps it, I think. There's not too much of that. I quite like it when like, I wouldn't call them super professional people do like shows like this, like in Dubia, because it actually somehow comes across as way more natural, which then puts you in that odd uncanny valley of like, oh, hey, there's this somewhat ropey looking thing with anime stylings, but then everyone's kind of talking somewhat naturally toned, like not, but some of the characters are better than others.
I mean, that's why it worked better in Red versus Blue, though, because it's just like, they're just guys, and therefore they can act, they don't have to act because they are just guys. It's like that, it's fitting the action of the thing to the voices,
I guess,
in a way.
Until someone has to be Sard.
I mean, that's not much of a voice.
I think they've got most of Red versus Blue on Prime as well now, randomly.
Sure.
Yeah, so I watched that. I don't think you can watch season or volume. Well, it's like a film. They're done in like film style. I don't think you can watch volume 2 yet. You can, but you'd have to rent it. Oh, my voice is going again. This suite isn't helping. Yeah, I think that's what I watched. Picard episode 3.
Right.
He's not yet in space.
I haven't.
That's when it will get good, maybe.
There's only 10 episodes, so I'm like, hurry the hell up. Oh, you caught up at the end? Or saw one of them?
No, I've only seen one, so okay. I haven't caught up. One.
Chunky boy number one.
Is it good? Is it worth getting into? I haven't seen it.
I don't know.
Honestly.
Like, I'm having that sort of like, it's cool in some respects, but there are certain elements of it where I'm going, this doesn't feel very Star Trek-y.
Quite clear. As soon as it turns out that the Earth of the Future has like Fox News, it's like, this is not the utopian future of Star Trek, is it?
And that Starfleet people like to swear a bit now.
Right.
You know, it's little details like that. It's like, I know it happened occasionally, but it's like
a bit much.
Well, I would it just catches you by surprise sometimes. You're just like, oh. You'd think Starfleet itself would be the tone of regality, I suppose, to it.
And then America came along and stole their logo.
Yeah.
Space Force.
Just hilarious.
I love how typical. It says, like, because it's the US Air Force has had Space Command for forever, basically. Not forever, but very long time. And it's basically the same logo, and they've just reclassified it as Space Force or whatever. But then in huge letters, it says Department of the Air Force underneath. So it's basically like a rebranding. Complete with pretty much the same logo, but everyone has never seen that before, so they're like, oh, it looks like the Star Trek logo.
Wait, so is their whole Air Force called Space Force now?
Well, no, so what Trump wanted was a Space Force to go alongside the Air Force, the Army, and the Navy, but they were like, that's stupid. I mean,
because you're not allowed to fight in space, for a start.
Yeah.
Rule number one.
And there's already a Space Command part of the Air Force which deals with, you know, spy satellites and all that shit, and has been forever. So they've just renamed that Space Force, basically. But it's not a new,
is what
it's
we're not talking a new about.
Department. Yeah, basically. Just let him think he got his Space Force when when he just got a reclassified Space Command.
I mean, hiring a designer is probably slightly cheaper than restructuring the entire military.
Exactly.
Although, designers, am I right? news?
It's time for the news.
Yeah, any more for anyone there? News! What's going on in news, Zegel?
Yeah, not what's much.
Not much.
Not much.
No, it's a little bit quiet again.
Well, hidden the notes I've actually seen.
There's not much notes.
No, it's like three lines of notes.
EA has been doing some weird stuff on Steam.
Oh, yeah.
They've changed all their prices on Steam, but not on Origin.
Oh, so meaning, is it more expensive the prices to get them on Steam?
More frequently than not, more expensive, yep. Sometimes cheaper, if you're lucky. And it seems different based on region. So most of the US prices haven't changed. But Brazil, like, you have to pay double now if you want that SimCity 4.
But is that comparable to all their other prices, though? Like, was SimCity 4 actually super cheap before in
on Steam?
No, I went to look at SimCity 4 on Steam, and it was 17 quid or something. Today, that I think.
Doesn't seem terrible.
No. Yeah, but come on, how old is that game?
That sounds EA price-worthy.
And it, has a big note saying that it won't work on the latest Mac OS because there's no 32-bit stuff on the new Mac OS.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so well played, EA.
I'm not sure. It's like they've suddenly decided to pay attention to Steam again after they just dumped all their shit on there. They just did it one time and they were like, okay, now we're done with Steam again. Now all our stuff is just there.
Mm.
And now they're like, maybe we should look at that Steam thing again. Oh, shit. We can make more money, probably.
We can use Steam as an experimentation ground and just mess with the prices and see what works and what doesn't. I'm betting low prices work better. Just saying. What else we got? Blizzard era. Getting a little bit of trouble again. They can't seem to please anyone.
Nope.
With that Warcraft 3 Reforged thing.
Yeah.
And it came out
like a remaster. And
it wasn't just supposed to be like a re-release with, you know, a few extra features here and there. They had claimed they were fully redoing the campaign, you know, changing missions and redoing cutscenes and representing it basically, just to, you know.
Yeah.
More of a remake than a remaster, I get, was the impression everything got. And if you go read their marketing materials, or watch their early footage, it's like, that sure as hell looks like what they were doing.
Yeah.
But it's come out without that. All it's got is the original campaign.
Pretty much.
Which is fine if that's all you're interested in, but it's not what they said they'd do.
No, and people are pissed off. To the point where they got so many requests for refunds that apparently they implemented like an auto refund thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you can just say, yeah, I want a refund. It'll go, oh, all right.
It will immediately do it, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's bad. So how's it? I know Blizzard haven't exactly been on a hot streak, but they must have known this wasn't going to work well. They haven't even been out there messaging saying like, oh, it's not that it's that we're not doing it. It's just not ready yet. And we thought we'd put it out like without it for now.
I don't think that's going to be the case, though.
What, you reckon they will come back and put it in?
No, I don't think they will.
No, neither do I. It's like...
Well, the real question is, why did they make that marketing material that way then?
Like, yeah.
What, I mean...
Why did they even bother it in doing this if they weren't going to do it properly?
I mean,
if they weren't going to do it... Making Warcraft 3 work on modern machines with better graphics is like...
But they're not really... They've got new textures, right, and stuff, I guess. But
Yeah. I mean, putting out an HD remaster is, that's a thing. That's allowed.
Yeah, of course.
And that's probably a good thing. But it's the fact that they promised promised so much. They didn't even say...
They promised so much. They promised more than they did, but I would say it was like... It wasn't like they remade the whole of Warcraft 3 to be like a modern RPS or something. It's still Warcraft 3. And it still has the in-engine cutscenes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just they were promising slightly more fancy in-engine cutscenes.
Well, they said specifics like, "Hey, the campaign will have enough changes to it that they were suggesting the game was going to have an option to play both the original and the new campaign."
Hmm.
You know, it's not like tweaks here and there. They were going that far to be like, "Oh, it's going to be different enough that you might want to choose." But none of that's there. And also, anything you make for it is theirs.
They own
your maps and
mods. They learned from Dota to not let Valve steal it.
Yeah,
so they put much more restrictions in the ULA and then people got pissed off, even though that's like a totally normal thing in a lot of meteorites.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's super uncommon to have a statement like that.
It's just because Dota exists that that became a thing in both directions. It became a thing that they needed to put this in, and it became a thing that the community got pissed off about. It. It's only because of Dota.
Protect your IPs when they're not your IPs. Yeah. It's a bit of a mess. I hope Overwatch 2 somehow gets away with not being a mess.
I don't think...
But it sounds more and more like Blizzard just can't get anything right.
Well, sure. But I think the trouble with Overwatch 2 is, as we've discussed previously, the way it sort of encompasses Overwatch 1 is just like... Or that gives them like automatically -5 points or something to most people.
Yeah.
Just like that's, it seems weird enough that people are just going to be vaguely pissed off about it, even though it's like it's an unusual thing. So there's no like precedent even really.
Overwatch 2 just has the whole, do I actually need this about it? And for most people, I bet the answer is no.
As long as they don't accidentally make weird promises. That'll be the thing.
Well, people aren't that smart either, let's be honest. And they'll be like, Overwatch 2, yeah. And that'll be all they know.
Sure. But then that's their fault.
To an extent, yeah. Blizzard. What else was going on? Oh, yeah, Torchlight.
Not much of a story.
No, but interesting nonetheless. A fan-made Torchlight. Sort of multiplayer thingy.
I don't think it was fan-made. I think they were just making a new Torchlight thing.
Oh, really? I didn't think it was official. I thought that was why this was newsworthy. It was like a free-to-play Torchlight variant in...
Because I think they already announced this at some point. Because I distinctly remember being like, oh, there's a new Torchlight thing. Oh, it's a shitty free-to-play weird thing that's not like the original two.
Yeah, you see, I thought it was fan-made, and the fact that it was being brought under Torchlight proper, and it being now called Torchlight 3 instead of Torchlight Frontiers.
I mean, they've basically tried... they've always tried to do what Kingdoms of Amalur didn't manage to do.
Yeah, right.
Where they started making a like different game, and now they're going to try and turn it into an MMO. Or sort of an MMO.
Sort of an MMO. Yeah, it sounds like instanced areas. From their description, right? It's probably not a true MMO.
Yeah. It's probably going to be or more like Destiny or whatever.
Oh, sure.
A certain number of people in the same vicinity get shoved into a server instance.
Something like that.
So we'll see about that. But I'm sure we said it at the time, but like when they made Torchlight 2, it was like you still didn't quite like learn enough to make this truly a Diablo competitor or whatever. Like, it's fine, and it is a Diablo-esque game, but it's still not on that level. And the things they did change from 1 to 2 were, like, just make it more grindy, which maybe wasn't the best.
No, I really didn't get into Torchlight 2. I don't know, it just didn't sit with me quite.
It was just the weird way, like, they had that, like, map progression. As you sort of explored through the world, it made new quests that they were linked to very specific places. So it's like you had to just go out and explore the whole map to trigger the events that caused the new thing to appear. And it was just kind of grindy in that way, because the maps, the like open world part of the maps that weren't the dungeons were kind of large and a bit empty. And kind of annoying to traverse, because they were mostly open. Which is not, it's like, you kind of need corridors. You need, like, nice little rooms with doors to fight in.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to know that, like, if I open this door, there's probably going to be bad stuff.
Yeah, and, like, when you win the open world, it's just like, you have to remember where you've been, so when you need to run away, you don't run into more shit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just kiting the world. Still there. They're still following me. Yeah, you might be right. I didn't find a reference to it being fan-made on the wiki article. That trustworthy source.
Yeah, always.
That's kind of all I got.
Well, there's one more bit of news, which I guess is news.
Oh, the Rocket League outage?
Yeah, the Rocket League fucked everything up. Period.
Yeah.
And it went horribly wrong for them.
So, Yeah, it was last weekend, wasn't it? There was some big weekend long outage. Like, it was up and down, up and down, up and down.
Well, apparently what happened was, like, sometime around Thursday last week, they did a patch on their internal whatever. It was a SQL patch, supposedly, to their internal databases. And then all through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that just basically completely fucked them, and they had to keep taking the servers down all the time for many hours. So by sometime on, like, Sunday night, they were finally like, yeah, we might be able to put the servers up and have them stay up for a period of time. So that kind of ruined everyone's weekend, as you expect. But also, it conveniently ruined the first round of the new Rocket League Championship esports. That got cancelled because they couldn't play it. That went bad. And then shortly after that, they did a patch. Like, that was mostly to put in some, like, new esports skins or whatever. But the patch also broke Rocket League, like, basically made it crash on launch for a lot of people. Huh. I think it, because it happened to me, I think it might have been a Windows 7 issue. Because, like, not everyone had this issue.
Well, maybe they should have discontinued Windows 7 support.
Well, that's what I was worried about. I was like, uh-oh, they just going to, like, discontinue Windows 7 now. Like, they did Linux and Mac OS. But no. And it turns out the way to fix it was to install, like, a .NET update.
Oh, okay.
Except...
Wait, .NET? I didn't know Rocket League would have anything to do with .NET.
Apparently. Huh. But then, like, the problem with that was that, like... So normally Windows Update manages .NET updates, usually. And so I haven't run the most recent one of those in my Windows Update because obviously I don't restart my computer very much. So I was like, oh, maybe this is just a me problem. Maybe I just, and you know, obviously there's going to be people like me who don't run Windows Update as often as they probably should. And it's like, maybe that's just it. But you run that update and it still doesn't fucking work. You actually have to specifically go and get like another, like a next version of .NET that hasn't even been put on the Windows Update yet.
Right, yeah, it's not yet on the cycle.
So you have to go get that and then it works.
Well, maybe that's, or maybe it won't be on the cycle because Windows 7.
Yeah, maybe. But still, it's just like, that's very inconvenient. And like, there was basically no official community. That was the one, that was a Reddit solution. Someone worked that out and was like, I'm going to post this so the people who type this into Google can find out. Because apparently the Rocket League devs aren't going to say it.
I mean, that can happen. That can be an over-enthusiastic developer going, oh, why are we still using this old version without thinking that it might not be supported in places?
Yes. Like, or not. Like,
we've all done it, right?
You're using the developer build of the, like, the most recent software, and it's like, that's not even released to the public yet. Whoops.
I mean, we've all done that. Yeah.
So that was a bad 4 or 5 days for Rocket League. And people are still not happy because, you know, when they came back and the servers were working, they're like, here, have some red envelopes for our Chinese New Year event.
Which
everyone has
play.
Probably already ground out how many red envelopes they want.
I mean, I hadn't. Yeah, I don't play. I still think I play Rocket League a reasonable amount, but, like, still haven't got all the stuff.
But, yeah, that's not what people wanted as recompense.
Well, they were just, well, of course, people want to be able to open some of these hideously expensive blueprints.
Want some credits.
Yeah.
Or just some items. Just straight items.
Give me a decryptor for a blueprint.
Yeah.
Bring those back.
So, you know, that annoyed everyone and then it started working again, so it'll be okay.
Rocket League. And of course, most of the comments were about, oh, good job, Epic.
Yeah, that too. You've always got to blame Epic.
Great job. I think that's news.
Yeah, yes.
I just read that Dan Houser is leaving Rockstar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently. Okay. It's that's dramatic, news. Surely. Mm. I mean, he was the Houser brothers were behind GTA 3 and everything since, and pretty much wrote, I think Dan Houser co-wrote every single game. So up until, and including Red Dead 2. So I wonder, because it's like...
Well, he's probably made enough money to, like, die on.
Well, definitely. But, like, creatively, like, it's like, presumably they've got to make GTA 6 next. But, like, Why?
Right. Like, maybe why, he doesn't.
What are you going
to
do with GTA 6?
Maybe he's finally hit his creative wall and he's just like, we've milked everything. What do we do?
Pretty much.
You do Vice City again. That's what you do.
Well, no, surely, that's the way you have to go with GTA.
The problem is Vice City works because it's the size of game it was at the time. Like, now you can't stretch like an 80s parody thing to be as big as those games are now. They've got too big and they have to encompass like too much.
It has to be a parody. Like a period piece.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Or it's time for action GTA London.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't think London would actually suit the... Because the whole thing about Grand Theft Auto was it was a satire on American culture.
It'll make a satire on the English culture,
though. Yeah. They actually are... Well, they're not English. They're British.
Do a few guns.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make a whole deal of it, you know, fewer guns. Like, a gun could be an important, like, a big deal.
And you could make melee combat that actually matters.
Well, yeah.
Oh, there's all kinds of ways you could improve those games, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd still quite like to see that. Or they make a 2D one.
Yeah, I mean...
Not gonna be a big game, though.
I don't care. But maybe that's what you do for your 80s pastiche or something. Maybe. If you want to do a parody one.
You do it the other way. You remake GTA 2, but in the full 3D game.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that could be interesting. Does that mean we get the Garangas back?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, what was it? Was it or was it Elvis impersonators? No, it was Garangas in GTA 1.
It was Elvis GTA 1, GTA 2. It was the Hare Krishnas, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Garanga.
Well, I wonder whether he'll just retire, whether he'll do something else, like Kojima style. Well,
go work on Mass Effect.
Don't know.
Go into that oven.
Oh, Zach's got a bit fuzzy.
Has he?
Yeah.
You got fuzzy, Zach? Have I got fuzzy?
No.
Speak some more, Zach. Are you fuzzing?
I can't tell him I'm buzzing because obviously I can't hear myself. Only Dan can tell us whether I'm buzzing. That might not even appear on the recording.
Why not?
Okay, well, that's what
this is a great podcast.
Well, no, but technically it should fuzz because we're sending the same signal. So I should be, if I'm not fuzzing, then
it's the mic.
Yeah.
That's Rob, you're fine.
Is Zach still fuzzing?
Yeah.
Cool.
Shall I just tap the mic and see if that helps?
Yes.
Yes.
Speak some more.
That help at all?
No.
But reattach, like just wedge the wire in there a bit.
With the wire.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's doing anything
with
the switch before, right?
You might have been.
Well.
Is that improved?
Has it improved?
Talk again.
I'm talking.
No, it's fucked up. Maybe my dips in sound are from the desk.
You don't go through the desk.
Oh, okay. Well, have I dipped in sound again? Because I seem fine on my flame graph.
No, that's fine. I'm not wearing my...
Well, let me just switch this mic off and on again. Okay. It's going to make it loud.
Can we try turning it off and on again?
Did that help at all?
Keep talking.
I'm going to keep talking to see if it's fuzzy.
Yeah, that seems better.
Okay.
You're leaning forward a little now as well compared to you.
Well, yes.
A lot louder, but yeah. That seems
fine.
Not
that unlikely.
Okay, what's the current timestamp so I know where to clip this?
51 minutes.
51.
Yeah. Rob gets to do editing.
Fun times.
I'll get over you. Do continue.
So anyway, Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, we'll see what happens because if I was him, I'd be like, I'm out of ideas.
I feel like there was that many ideas in the Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead. It's pretty much the same idea.
I don't know. Like Red Dead 2, they actually did something somewhat different to Red Dead 1, I would say.
I get the feeling GTA 5 was kind of the magnum opus he was always going for.
I think so, yeah. I don't know where you go from there. So Yeah, so we'll see. But I thought there's interesting news.
Damn it, that game has made me questioning whether Magnum Opus is the right way around. Is it? Was that the right way around?
Yes. Yeah, that's the right way around.
It's okay, this is the game's Opus
Magnum. Oh, Opus Mag.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Right.
Cool, that's the news. It is time for what have you been playing on your video game machine of choice.
On your computational devices.
Zeg, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been mostly down to just two games again. Not every game in the world like it was previously in the last 2 weeks. Which is, I guess that couldn't last, but maybe it'll come back. I'm still tempted to play other things.
Not every game in the world where every game in the world is similar to the other games in the world.
Well, the world of my games. Games on my Steam. It's not like Rob's Steam, where there's all kinds of fucked up shit.
Yeah, there is.
But I've been mostly playing two things still. Stardew in with the multiplayer and a single player save at the same time. And we've been getting through it. We're still not out of the first year in both saves, in fact. Even my solo save, I haven't got out of the first year. We've been seeing a bit of the new stuff, a tiny bit of the new stuff, not really that much of the new stuff. Fish ponds, that's pretty much it. Chuck fish in there, and then they breed.
So you can mine for fish.
Well, you still fish for fish. No. Actually, I guess I haven't actually fished a fish. The weird thing is that it says, there's a button in the interface on the fish pond that just says empty pond.
Oh.
But that's like reset pond. That's not
right. So it doesn't like just take the water out of the pond and all the fish are at the bottom.
Like. No, it doesn't like. And also, I haven't actually tried this, but according from what it implies on the wiki, that just like deletes all the fish that's in there.
No,
you don't actually get the fish.
No, you can't like grenade it.
No, if you want the fish, you actually have to cast your fishing rod into the fish pond and fish the fish out. I don't know if you have to then play the whole fishing mini game also, or whether you just get them by default.
Right.
Like it's instant. Haven't actually tried that yet.
Hmm.
You'd kind of hope it would just be instant, because the fishing minigame takes a lot of time, and in multiplayer, because time doesn't stop like in single player, it'd be quite a pain in the ass to have to fish those fish back out.
But it's my farmed fish. I should have an auto-fisher.
Yeah. There should be some kind of fish-catching upgrade.
You just lift the entire bed of the pond is just a net that you just lift.
Yeah. It's just built into the thing. It just like robotically lifts the whole thing up. Hmm. But yeah, you can breed fish. And it's weird because you put the first fish in and it like that determines what type of fish pond it is. So it like locks it in essentially. And then over time, the fish generate quests, I guess. The fish talk to you essentially through the interface and they're like, hey, chuck this shit in here. We want some of this. And whatever that may be. We want a diamond or we want like some sea urchins. And you just have to get them and chuck them in, and then the fish are like, great, and then they can breed more.
They just turn around and go, great, thanks, man. All right, sugar.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is weird. It's like, it's a unusually complicated system for like this one specific part of the game.
Are the fish your pimp?
Okay, well, maybe.
You're like some kind of pimp runner.
I mean, you're breeding them. Stealing all the eggs,
I suppose, but they're telling you what to do.
Sure.
Who's the boss in this relationship? Who wears the trousers? Fish trousers.
One singular trowel.
Trowel.
But then of course you have to decide what fish you want to actually breed. It's just like the game makes a semi big deal about sturgeon, of course, because of caviar. Because all the different fish make fish eggs, which are, you know, that's just what caviar is. But then, like, only the sturgeon fish eggs turn into specifically caviar. The rest are just like aged fish eggs when they come out of the jar. So it's just like you want to breed the sturgeon specifically to get caviar. Except we did that, and like caviar really isn't like worth the effort in terms of money. It's like it's just a sort of generic value. It's like that seems like a lot of effort to make not that much money, really.
There's like a little piece on. Okay, yeah. In my ill state, I've been worse in the mornings, and I've been watching like morning TV.
Okay.
And so on Saturday Kitchen Best Bites this morning, they had a bit on caviar, like UK caviar.
Right.
It's like even Audi apparently have caviar now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it still costs like 18 quid for 10 grams. Caviar's crazy, buddy.
Yes, not in the game though. Disappointing. But then, so then, what I in my solo game, I was like, well, I'm going to breed eels because one of the cooking recipes requires eels specifically, and it's like one of the most useful cooking recipes because it gives you like bonus luck, which is useful for when you're trying to collect rare materials or whatever. You could just eat this food and get more luck.
Magic find.
Yes, basically. But you need eels specifically. So I was like, I'm going to breed eels. And, you know, that's fish for you.
Did the eels talk to you as well?
Well, yeah, they're just all the things in the fish pond. I think you could even breed sea urchins, which is like, they don't even, like, they're not even a fish.
What if the urchin takes offense at that? You're not even a fish.
I mean, I suppose they are classed as fish in the terms of the game. Breed a blobfish.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have they come?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I don't remember what they give you. They give you something special.
Happiness.
I think they give you pearls for some reason.
Okay. Oyster blobs.
Yeah. I don't know what happens when you breed oysters. Oysters might not count as fish. It's weird. There's certain like mussels and oysters that you can catch in like lobster pots. And so, most of the stuff you catch in lobster pots counts as fish, and there's clams as well. But like sometimes they don't count as fish, like for crafting purposes. Mm. There's like a category of fish, and then there's like a secondary, then all the other stuff comes under like forage, where it's just like things that you found.
Mm.
So yes, Stardew, that's still happening. Maybe we'll finish it, but I wouldn't bet on it.
I would bet
that our enthusiasm for it is going to wane before the end of year two, which is when the end game happens.
Is it 3 years, the game normally? Is it four?
No, it's two. It's the end of year two. Okay. So the start of year three is when the evaluation happens.
Mm.
But there's actually like quite a lot of the stuff that's been added is pretty much post end game. I guess not really post end game. One of the main things that's been added is when you're rebuilding the community center by completing the bundles, which basically means getting specific items. That was always a thing that was like one of the main evaluation points at the end of year two. Did you finish the community center? But I mean, it's totally possible to finish the community center in year one if you just go hard enough at it. Like get the right, and I mean a little bit of luck, because you have to like buy a few rare items off the random cart that only sometimes appear. But you can easily finish the community center in year one. But now there's a little mini addition to the community center. After you finish the regular community center, you get like one more bundle, like the super special bundle, which has like super rare stuff in it. So there's that, which is technically end game content, I guess, except it could easily happen way earlier than end game. And then
secret ending.
Well,
S rank secret ending.
Yeah. And then there's like new villager friendship events for like 14 hearts, which I think only happen 14 hearts means they're married to you, I think. Because it normally stops, it's like eight, it stops at 8 for people that you can date and 10 for everyone else. And then when you start dating them, you can take it up to 10. And then that's where you get married. So I think 14 actually means another event after you've been married for a while.
Married and you're pretty happy.
Yeah. You've continued to give them random bullshit that they like. Because that's how Stardew works.
That's the trick.
I mean, yeah, it's not that far off.
And I guess one of the other new things that I didn't even... the game doesn't really tell you about it, and it's not even very obvious. In the like friendship list, where it just shows you what your friendship level is with everyone that you've met, you can now just click on them, and it shows you like an individual screen for that person with more detail. And on that, the first thing is on that screen, it tells you what their birthday is, which normally you have to go and look at the calendar for, which is kind of helpful, except not as, like, the calendar is a visual thing. It's much easier to see when someone's birthday is coming up rather than having to look at the actual date and be like, what day is that? I don't know. Yeah. So that's slightly useful. But then also on that screen, it shows you, like, everything, every gift that you've given them and how much they liked it.
Ah, helpful.
But then... it's sort of helpful because, like, realistically, at this point, the way you do that is you just look it up on the wiki. You just look up what everyone likes on the wiki and just give them that. you don't actually experiment. So the fact that it only records things that you have given them, it's not really that helpful for anyone who's played that game more than once.
Right, yeah.
Although, I guess I haven't actually checked, but it would be nice if it also like imported information that you'd learnt into that list. Because sometimes when you talk to a person, they'll tell you what another person likes or dislikes.
Oh, I see. Right. So like, you want like a personal notebook.
Yeah.
I want a manipulation book, if you will.
And you can actually find like a note that tells you what people like as well. Just like a random piece of paper that you found somewhere that's for some reason was a note that someone wrote about what they liked. Although I guess those are quite new as well, the secret notes. I'd like that information to be ported in there. I haven't actually checked whether it is, but I'd like it to be.
I like talking to fish. The fish talk back. Send help.
Send help. So yeah, Stardew. It's continuing to... It's got what I think is a bug, but it's like it's so... It's one of those things which doesn't happen frequently enough to be sure that it's not just something weird about my system. But it like it keeps eating mouse clicks.
Oh.
Except it doesn't... It like... It releases... It eats the mouse up rather than the mouse down.
Oh, that's annoying.
Which is like really confusing.
So you end up with dragging on.
Well, no, it's when you're using your tools. And the way you use tools in Stardew are, once you've upgraded them, you hold the button down to charge the tool, basically.
Okay.
So sometimes you will hold the button down, release the button, and then you just won't actually do anything. You'll just stand there continuously charging it.
Ah.
Until you click again, and then it's like, oh yeah, you should probably release that.
It's the Dragon Ball patch.
But it doesn't happen very often, and I'm like, is this even the game's fault, or is my mouse fucking up or something?
It'd be weird for it not to send an up event.
Yeah.
Down events, maybe.
Yeah.
Up events.
It's very strange. And I don't know. It just happens occasionally. I wouldn't call it infrequent, though. It still happens quite a lot. So I don't know. Maybe that would get patched. But who knows.
And you've not experienced problems elsewhere?
No. Although this time I'm not hosting. So this time I'm getting to experience what that game is like over an internet connection.
Oh, so it's plausible that it's one of those then.
No, because it happens in single player as well.
Ah.
So that was one of my initial thoughts, but I was like, no, it definitely happens in single player.
Balls.
But what is different when you're not the one being doing the hosting is combat is way more difficult. It's very difficult to not get hit when you're not the host, which kind of... makes it very difficult to get anywhere in like the progression through the mines or anything. Because you just die.
So there's just enough latency on the peer-to-peer stuff to...
Well, it's not really latency. It's just like... obviously it is latency, but it doesn't feel like latency in the usual way. It's like the enemies don't get knocked back properly. Like, you hit them, but then they don't experience as much knockback as they should, and then they just hit you. Which is, like, weird. I'm not sure... And I don't know how that would look to the other person or anything.
Are you seeing it late or something? Or
yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of awkward, but I mean, that's latency for you, really. There was no way around that.
That's latency.
And I don't know if this actually has been changed at some point, but it just, the combat sections of that game, like the mines, they just generally seem harder. Like, you take more damage somehow, maybe. But it's kind of hard to tell because we don't have the same equipment as we would have had at a late game stage from a previous save or whatever. We definitely died a lot easier, it seems. So I don't know if that did get modified at some point to make it slightly more challenging. And I'm not sure that would be a good thing if it did. I don't think the combat challenge of Stardew was really its main draw.
Someone asked for it, you know, at some point, probably.
But that's why there's the like the main mines and the skull mines, which are the much harder one. And there's even like a new little, it's not really a full mine, it's like a single floor, but it's like this new section with new enemies. But yeah, I don't know. That just seems weird. But apart from that, the game is still the same as it usually is. Doing a lot of the same things in the same order to accomplish the same goals as fast as possible.
So why are you still playing it? It begs the question if it's the same thing.
Because we want to see the new stuff.
Right.
But you have to get through the whole thing.
You can just reload an old save.
I mean, we could have maybe. But you want to see it from the... There are, you know, some events that happen early on. Okay. You got to see them from the start.
There's some progressional changes.
Yeah. So speaking of playing the whole thing again, been continuing to play some more of No Man's Sky.
If anyone out there needs another QA tester, I think we might have one on staff.
Well, I mean, that's where I've got to in No Man's Sky, is the here are all the bugs that I remember phase. It's like, oh yeah, I remember this is dumb and fucked up, because this game is still like that.
What have you broken today, Zach?
Well, the thing, I guess the main one is actually new. Like, it's not something that happened last time, which is that, or maybe it did and it wasn't as prevalent anyway. But, like, when you're in your base and you have a refiner, which is, like, a device that's built into your base, or the mobile ones, I guess, that you can just plonk down anywhere, you put materials in them, and if you walk up far enough away or, like, take off or leave the area in any way so the base unloads, it just deletes everything that's in them.
Oh.
Which is...
You could lose all your stuff.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that didn't used to happen nearly as much, but now it's... The trouble is that it's not like even 100% guarantee. Like, sometimes you come back and it'll be fine, but a lot of the time you'll come back and everything will be gone.
Oh boy.
So that's kind of annoying, especially when some of the refinery processes can be like 20 minutes. It's like, I don't want to just stand around in my base for 20 minutes.
That's really bad.
Yes.
Like, I thought that. I did, because there's no, like, in game indication that it should disappear, right?
No. It's clearly just a loading error. It's like unloading them and not saving the data correctly or whatever.
Yeah.
So when they load back in, it just pops them as empty.
That's pretty bad.
So yeah, that's kind of annoying. But I mean, that's maybe only some of the refinery stuff takes a really long time, and you can find things to do in your base simultaneously. Or, you know, just have lots of refineries going at once and then split up the amount of work each of them is doing so it doesn't take as long. Things like that. But then the whole... It still has that... I think I talked about it the last time I played it. It still has that weirdness of, like, overlapping, like, unlocking processes, almost. Like, and it's worse now, because now there's, like, another layer to it. So when you're building a base, right at the start of the game, there's the tutorial where it basically tells you to build a base at a certain point. And it's like, okay, you build it like a wooden hut, essentially. A space wooden hut. It's got a fancy hologram door and everything, but it's still made of wood. So you do that, and then you build the... In order for your to build a base, you build a base computer. And the base computer then has, like, a timer on it that ticks down every, like, half an hour or so or whatever. And then when you look at it again, it gives you another blueprint to build a new thing in your base, and that's how it tutorializes building bases. And then later on, after you've progressed the sort of main story a bit, you get NPCs that can live in your base, and they have a chain of missions that can unlock more stuff for your base. Like, you get the farmer, and then he tells you how to make all the different crops and unlocks the recipe for you to be able to grow those crops. But now, simultaneously, in the anomaly, the like, you know, space base that you can go to occasionally, in there, there's a specific console that you can look at, and you can just unlock parts of the base. Like, unlock parts for the base building system that you would normally get through this other, like, the mission system.
Oh, weird.
And it's just like there's this completely separate way to unlock all the stuff that just completely overlaps with it. So you can easily just waste a bunch of time and effort. Like, you can go around and hunt for the buried salvage containers or whatever to get the things that you need to unlock the through the console, but then just have the mission happen like 2 minutes later that just gives you the stuff for free. Except you've already got it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of annoying.
That's so strange.
But I mean, I understand kind of why they did it. It's because because of the way the story is, like, not what that game is about almost. It's like the story is meant to be optional. So they had to give you this other way to unlock stuff if you're not participating in progressing through the main story.
And is the story stuff available in the, like, survival modes and things like that? Oh, okay.
The story stuff still happens.
Mm.
It's just you may not have progressed it that much or at all if you felt like it. Which is weird. And then, like I said, that's like the third tier of that system, where it's just like there's all these different layers of unlocks that unlock stuff that you can unlock in a different way, which is just awkward.
I mean, it's kind of nice sometimes to have options.
Yeah, except like...
But you just think the options aren't... Or the timing of them isn't quite so obvious, or that the ways for one route are too easy compared to the other.
Well, yeah, maybe. But it's more like it just doesn't tell you that...
There are multiple ways.
Yeah. It'd be like on that console where you can just pay the salvage to unlock the stuff, it should also like have a little icon that says this will unlock for a mission if you get to that point or something.
I see. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of other stuff in that menu that I think probably doesn't unlock from what I remember of how the mission structure works. Probably doesn't unlock through the missions. It's just like extra stuff.
Mm.
So it'd be nice to know which of that to buy and which to not buy. Basically.
Yeah.
So that's kind of annoying.
But then that's discovery.
Mm. Yes, kind of.
Finding this out on your own. Isn't it magical?
Mm. Isn't it a big waste of life?
Yes.
And then there's like the sort of bugs where it's just like, I mean, it's great that they've continued to patch this game for this long and put all this ridiculous new content in, but maybe it's time for like a bug pass, maybe? Yes. Like the refining stuff just disappearing. That's quite a major one, although that's quite a new bug. But one of the old bugs that I did remember is an incredibly minor bug, because it's just a visual thing. When you turn in missions for the Explorers Guild and the Mercenary Guild, it uses the wrong icon. It uses the other icon.
Oh, weird.
For no apparent reason. Huh. So like, that's just like one of those tiny little bugs where it's just like, just a polish pass, guys. Maybe hold off from new content for like a month and just clean up what's there, maybe.
You'd think that would be the simplest possible, like that's just a Boolean that's gone wrong somewhere.
Or
they've referenced the wrong resource. It's like, surely that's super easy to fix.
Yeah, and yet it's still there.
It's so weird.
Since the last time I played.
I mean, yeah, sometimes these like low bugs are considered like, oh, it doesn't actually affect gameplay, it's fine.
Yeah.
But sometimes developers just want to pick up the low-hanging fruit, right? You just want to...
And it would go, make some people
that one really maybe annoys not that me. One. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
On the plus side, they maybe fixed that old freighter bug that I talked about, where when you... trade in your old freighter for a new one, it deletes everything.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Now you actually can move your shit into the new freighter before you accept the trade.
Okay, good.
So it doesn't all get deleted.
Hmm. What if you move your stuff into the new freighter and then decline?
I don't know what would happen.
does the stuff in the new freighter just go, oh, cheers, mate?
Maybe. Because theoretically, if you leave stuff in the old freighter, it's meant to reduce the price of the new one proportionally.
Oh, I see.
Because you're selling that stuff, essentially. Mm. Yeah, I don't know if that happens.
It'd be pretty funny.
And I also got to the point where I like remembered how the systems work of that game, where it's like when you go to a distress beacon to find a crashed ship, and you want to claim that crashed ship as your own, which you can do up to six. You can have six ships.
Mm.
But when you do that, the like quality of the ship that you find is based on the ship that you're currently flying.
Right.
Because it's always meant to be an upgrade, but it's based on the ship that you're currently flying.
Okay. So you want to be flying your best stuff.
So you want to be flying your best ship when you feel like acquiring a new ship in that method, you want to make sure you're flying your current best ship in order to force that ship that spawns to be better.
Hmm.
Which is weird. And kind of dumb.
So can you push that system all the way to the top then?
Well, yeah, that was kind of how, because originally that was literally how it worked. Like the only way to upgrade your ship was to constantly hop to the next ship because that next ship was always guaranteed to be an upgrade.
Right, provided you can repair it.
Yeah, and the repairs used to be much less strenuous than they are now. Mm. They require a lot more resources and a lot more of the ship generally is broken.
Can you tow that ship away? Like, do you have to do anything? Like, if you leave your old... Are you leaving your old ship there?
Well, if you have less than six ships, you can just take it.
Mm.
You do have to repair, like, the launch thrusters and...
But you're not leaving it on the landscape?
No, you're not.
Okay,
but... Well, you are technically leaving it on the landscape, but then it just mysteriously appears in your freighter later.
Freighter later.
Freighter later. But if you have six ships, then you have to trade whatever ship you're currently flying for the one that's there. So if you're, so then it becomes this, the second period, part of this trick is you fly your best ship to the crash site to find the next ship, but then you call one of your other less good ships to that site, because you, your ships can fly on autopilot to you. You call one of your other ships to land there, so that becomes your active ship, and then you trade that one for the new ship, so you can also keep your old good ship. Hmm. It's just like, it's really inconvenient and dumb, and it's just like, this is just how this game works, I guess. And also, you know, the calling your ship thing and calling the freighter is just like, they don't care about whether their warp drive has fuel or whether their warp drive can even go to where you are. They just appear.
Okay. If you call them, they will come.
Yeah. They just turn up.
But you might not be able to leave.
Well, no, you can always leave.
But you might not have fuel.
Well, no. Well, yeah, okay. I guess that's true. You might not have fuel to be able to warp out.
You can call them to you, but you just can't get away.
But it's so easy to make warp fuel. That's the trick. Mm. As with a lot of things. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to mention about it, now that I've remembered, is I briefly tried playing a save in survival mode. Because I was like, what the hell is survival mode even? Because I the new save that I started most recently, I just put it in normal. Mainly because I kind of guessed that survival mode was just going to be inconvenience.
Yeah, like far more war.
And I was like, this game is already hella inconveniences. Let's maybe not have more inconveniences piled on top of that. So then I went and looked at survival mode, and it kind of is that.
Ooh.
The main inconvenience is like everything that you mine just gives you way less stuff.
Oh, okay. That's frustrating. So there's like a hunger meter and stuff now as well? Or?
Well, the thing is that food exists now, and there's a whole space kitchen thing you can get to process food into more complicated food. But as for the small amount of time that I played Survival Mode, there didn't seem to be any indication of hunger.
Oh.
And like, it never came up. I did only play like half an hour, but I still would have expected it to at least start to tell you about it.
Make bandages and bandage your wounds.
But then, like, the food also doesn't really appear to have any, like, stats to it. It doesn't have any, like, anything that tells you what it does. It's just like, you can press E to eat this, and then you do, and then it just disappears. And it's just like, okay, what? Why? You can eat stuff in normal mode, and it doesn't seem to do anything there either, as you imagine it wouldn't.
Then you turn around, and there's just this mysterious brown lump on the floor called Chemical S.
but yeah, I was like, what the hell is this system? It doesn't seem to actually exist. But then the other thing about survival mode, which is the more funny thing for me, was in the normal mode save, I was like, oh, thank God, they finally fixed the inventory system so it's not so incredibly annoying. Where it used to be that when you were mining, like, iron or, you know, any of the basic resources, that would stack to 250 in your inventory. And then you had this special separate inventory called your cargo inventory, which could stack, like, more. I forget how much it was. It might have only been 500. It might have only been a double stack. But basically, that was really annoying because you were constantly running out of inventory space, obviously. But now in normal mode, you just have, when you're mining generic stuff like iron, it just stacks to like 9,999. It's like, oh, thank God. That's nice that they finally chose to change that. But what they actually did was just put that in survival mode instead. So in survival mode, you have the old school inventory where it sucks and you get everything constantly fills up your inventory all the time because it doesn't stack very much. And it's like, well, that's just really annoying. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Don't play survival mode. Survival mode is actually more like old school mode.
Right.
Where it's just like, go back to the time where you were having alerts and your inventory was constantly full.
Some people might have enjoyed it. Might.
And I still think it's weird how when you make a new save file, because it's the game is linked to your Steam ID or whatever, it's just like you start again, but you don't really make a character. It's just your ID. Because when you're uploading your discoveries, it's just using your Steam ID or whatever.
Right.
So technically, if you were to be able to look at like the whole map of that universe, you'd be able to see like the four different times I've started this game. You'd be able to see me in like four different places, traversing through the universe. I haven't yet in this save got to a place where someone else has been yet.
Yeah, okay.
I did in my last save. Because you sort of naturally do, I guess, because you're all going towards the middle, so you're all eventually going to overlap.
And the number of planets reduces, I suppose.
Yeah, you're going into a smaller area. Mm. But yeah, it's kind of a weird system that the character isn't a character as such. The save file isn't a save. But I mean, then again, you could be like, oh, that fits in with the story, where all the players are iterations. Mm. That's what they're called. Where it's like you do it again, and it was
that's
weird.
What they're hoping for?
Well, yeah, it was weird the first time I flew into the anomaly for the first time in this save file. They've completely changed the interior of the anomaly and how it works, because that's where you suddenly see players. Mm. You come in with your ship onto the dock, and it's like, holy shit, there's just people running around.
This is like a hub area.
Yeah, it's not like it's only it's instance, so there's probably 16 people in there, but you can see them running around, lagging.
Did Eve ever put out
well, the walking stations?
Yeah.
No. They never got around to it.
I heard Elite was going to do that soon.
Hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that was quite weird to actually be like, oh, look. And it's sort of more obvious when you think about it, because you fly through a big glowing door. Where it's like, oh, look, here's the loading zone where the light covers the screen so you can't see the bit where it hitches, in the actual people.
Smart. That's game design.
Yep, it sure is. So, yeah, I've been playing quite a lot of that again. But it's like, I don't know, I feel like I need to make an effort to finish that game at some point, actually get to the weird bullshit ending.
Oh, have you never done it?
I don't think so.
can't remember.
That's the trouble.
Oh, you've seen it. When did you see it?
I saw it in some YouTube video at some point.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how it works functionally, because if it is still like this, because I guess this might have changed since I saw it, but you get to the end, you get to the center, and it basically... It doesn't.
Spoilers, I guess.
It does like a dramatic zoom through the universe, and you see all the stars flying past. And then you come out of this sequence, and it's like you've just discovered a new galaxy, because it's like it's a different version of the same galaxy, which is a thing. Because
aren't you in a different instance or something? Or?
Kind of a different instance, but I think there's only like three.
Oh, okay.
It's not like an infant. It's not like how many all the planets. But so you go into this different galaxy and start over, kind of. But I'm not sure what would happen to all your stuff. Like, can you still call in your freighter and with all your ships? Can you still teleport back to your bases, which would be in the other galaxy? Or does it literally just pretty much start you over? But with your personal equipment, I guess, because it's attached to you. I don't know. Now, I'm not sure that's what you want from that game anyway. If you're going to start over, you start a new save file, obviously. Just do it all again the proper way.
It's New Game Plus. You have all this knowledge.
Yeah, but there's no game to New Game Plus. It's still the same running around digging up shit and
finding Sonic the Hedgehog looking creatures.
Sometimes. I found a planet which just had a shit ton of giant crabs.
Yeah.
Although I guess they're not really crabs because they have more legs than crabs.
But they have weak points.
Their wholeness.
Their wholeness.
I shot them from my spaceship because they were so big. I could actually see them. I was like, I've got a mission where I need to kill creatures, but I can do this without even landing on this planet because these crabs are so large I can actually see them enough to target them.
Massive damage.
Yep, massive damage. So yeah, I mean, maybe I'll get to the end of that someday. I don't know, though.
Someday. Oh, and
one other thing in the classic segment of things I haven't been playing, but probably might soon. They finally release a new version of Dwarf Fortress.
What?
Yep, a new patch has come out. Still doesn't actually really patch Fortress mode all that much, which is, as usual, the thing that I'm waiting for. But does quite a lot of fancy shit in the world generation, as usual, and for adventure mode. Because it's the villains patch. So now you've got a bunch of
named antagonists.
Well, you've got a bunch more sort of interactions that can happen in the world gen that can cause villainy type things to happen.
Oh, does it generate stories and conversations?
Well, yes, pretty much.
Generated conversations sound hilariously bad.
As always. But yeah, it's a lot, because previously really all that could happen in World Gen was like wars. Mm. It's just like civilizations going to war with each other and the battles contained within. But now there's a bit more subtlety where like necromancers can infiltrate the society of towns by sending in like, you know, undercover undead dudes basically. Mm. And that kind of thing. It's a bit more fancy.
Double unders. Undercover undead.
Although... really, all of the time that they've been working on the sort of necromancer slash undead situation, I think it's starting to feel like, from what I've seen of this, that like they need to tone down the like power of necromancers. It seems like if you leave a world running for long enough, it's fairly inevitable that the necromancers are going to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's kind of obvious. Like, the number of dead people go up, therefore the amount of resources necromancers have to draw from goes up over time. But it's like it seems like everything just tends towards everything being a zombie at a certain point. Hmm. Even like the big like mega beasts like dragons or whatever, yeah, necromancers just get those as well.
Oh god.
And then you're going like, it's not just a dragon, it's a zombie dragon. That just makes it even worse.
Can you make sure you to target the little toe?
Well, the trouble with zombies in the way they used to work, especially in Dwarf Fortress, is like any body part can be animated. Mm-hmm. So you cut a part off a zombie and it just comes back to life and continues to fight you.
Great.
Which could be a real problem.
So you can't just cut off the head or destroy the brain.
Well, no, I think it did have some limits of that kind. But it definitely was possible for, in certain situations, smaller body parts to become animate by themselves. Mm. And of course, in the early days of that system, it ran into the, you know, the old classic Dwarf Fortress problem of being too liberal, where it's like a clump of hair could come back to life and continue to attack you. Like, I cut off your hair, and the hair came back to life as zombie hair, and now no. There's this bit of zombie hair attacking me, except it's impossible to kill because it doesn't have any targetable body parts because it's hair. That's Dwarf Fortress. The classic Dwarf Fortress problems.
I heard there's a bug where, like, in the new one, where babies being held by mothers are, like, riding the mothers, and because yeah. Babies only know to, like, run around in circles, like, the mother eventually just dies of dehydration.
Yeah. Because I don't know how that would have happened, but, yeah, the babies ride the mothers rather than the mothers carrying the babies.
Yeah.
Was the bug.
That's a bug.
And then that just screwed up the mothers. And that one got patched. So we're good. No more of that.
That was pretty game breaking that, I guess.
Yep, there he goes down again.
We lasted a while.
Well, I was just talking to you, but I mean, it looks fine on my screen and my on my levels meter. It's all normal.
Oh, there you go, you're back.
Yep. He's starting to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all normal on my levels. So that's good. Cool.
That's definitely quiet though.
Yeah, okay.
Levels.
So anyway, levels, I guess that's what I've been playing and what I haven't been playing.
Cool. Alright.
What about you then, Rob? What have you been playing?
Talking about things made of wood that fly through space.
Okay.
You sort of mentioned that.
I said wood in space, I didn't say flying through space.
Oh, okay. Wood in space. I've been playing more Outer Wilds.
Right.
Now, and discovering things about that tiny little solar system. And I don't know. I'm coming at this from the direction that, unfortunately, that a lot of outlets saying, like, oh, Outer Wilds, isn't it like the best thing of the year? And so now I'm playing it expecting it to absolutely blow me away, which it's kind of not doing. It's like, that's not to say the game is bad. Like, it isn't. It's pretty good. It's just that I'm not, you know, it's not wowing me in the way that some people have come away with and just be like, oh, isn't that clever? And I'm like, it's that whole, like, looking at things and it moves when you're not looking at it thing again. Or quantum, as they call it in this game. So there's a lot of that. I mean, it's quite nice, like, in that I've I do like the organic nature in which you discover things, and that you can go to, you take off in your ship, you go fight or a place. If it's a place you've not been before, chances are you're going to find something interesting and learn about little something, which then gives you a little something else to do next time. You'll learn a little something, and it will give you a suggestion about where you might find more. So you go there, and you just keep going and keep going and keep seeing how far the rabbit hole goes until you run out of ideas for where you currently are. And if you've run out of ideas for where you currently are, you just go somewhere else and learn some more stuff in this somewhere else place. And occasionally things go wrong, but occasionally things go wrong in such a way where you might end up in a situation where you find yourself somewhere that you weren't expecting to be. And then you learn a thing. It's like, which is from this mysterious place that you didn't, that you weren't intending to be, which is quite nice sometimes. But those are quite rare, those ones. Most of the time, if you're boned, you're pretty boned. Like,
fully boned.
The gravity of the sun has pulled my ship away from me. And now I'm stuck floating in space because I was out of it at the time. Mm-hmm. Well, the planet I was on got a bit too close to the sun and the gravity changed for a bit. And then now I don't have a ship. What am I going to do for the remainder of the time loop? Because the game's on like a 22-minute time loop as well.
Right.
And everything resets and it's like, what am I going to do? I need to even... I haven't got a way of like just resetting the clock if I'm floating in space.
You really should, though. Probably better.
Apparently one exists, but I haven't discovered it.
Mm.
There have been times where it's just like, I don't really know what to do, or I'm trapped in a place waiting for the world to end. Which is kind of irritating sometimes. But it's that game's pretty cool. Like I do like just... I wish it was more like... performed better on the base Xbox where I'm playing it. It is at times incredibly hitchy, which given its like simple graphical style can be a little surprising at times, but I suppose it is having to sort of figure out where everything in the solar system is at once, right? It's all following this schedule. And it's kind of important that you can sometimes see everything and be everywhere, but there are just times where you're like, there are these projection pools you can find every other, they'll like show you an area somewhere else, and you'll stand in them and it will project the area that where you've gone, and then you'll come back, and then the place you were has unloaded, while the other place has been loaded. So you'll have a moment where it's like, oh, I haven't actually, can't actually see where I am right now. Give it a minute, and it will pop in, or if you're using the warp system. I mean, this one makes a bit more sense. If you're in the warps, using warps, and have ended up somewhere far across the system, and then you come back again, usually it's the coming back that's a problem. And right. I'll be like, oh yeah, that area you were just in, I haven't got that ready for you just yet. Hang on, give me a minute while I load all the resources in. And it's like, I think I would have been happy with it just taking a moment to actually pause and load rather than it trying to carry on. And, that's when the frame rate's not dipping to super low levels.
Mm.
It's like, this definitely strikes me as a game you should probably play on the X or on a PS4 Pro or the PC version. Because, like, this version just doesn't run great. For
not
me.
Super optimized.
I'm not sure it's totally taking away from the experience, though, but it's, I'm a bit sensitive to that. Well, so it's... it's a little frustrating at times. Oh, my voice is doing weird warblings. I'm going to carry on with that. I've still got a few places to go where I know I haven't been yet. There's a couple. I have run into that problem a couple of times where the time loop has ended just as I've discovered something interesting. And you're just like, oh, God damn it, I'm going to have to figure out how to get back here again. And some of the getting back there is time-based. Like, things happen in that solar system at certain times. So it's like, right, I'm going to have to go find... Either I just hang around and wait for the thing I want to happen so I can get to where I was.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to have to find something else that I can precisely time to do. And then at the right moment go, all right, it was about here. Let's go over to the other place now and see if I've got enough time to do what I needed to do. I think maybe it would have been nice perhaps to have some kind of clock on screen. So you can sort of remember this stuff. I mean, you can sort of gauge it if you were looking at the hourglass twins. So there's a set of planets, basically, where a load of sand transfer that are in such a close orbit that a pillar of sand is being transferred between them.
Oh, cool.
And over the course of the loop, the, all of the sand on one planet drains onto the other.
Oh, right. So it's like a, hourglass.
Hence the hourglass twins, yeah. So if I, if you're paying attention, I guess you could gauge it by that. Or, you know, notice how many times the comet has been through the system. And it's like, oh, right, this is its second pass near the sun. I'm probably two-thirds through the through the time. So it's, I don't know, but you know, a clock would have been more convenient. But yeah, it's cool. I really like its ideas. I'm just not sure it's like it's not hitting me as much as the internet made it seem like it would. Which is the problem with expectations.
Unless it's all based on like one specific thing right at the end.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it all comes together in something. You know, the stories of people that are having a hard time getting started in that game, which I didn't really, didn't really experience myself. I just went to a place and started finding things. And then it's like, okay, game, I get the cut of your jib. I can see what you're doing here. I'm going to be learning things quite slowly. But there's, oh, a solar system to explore. And if I can find stuff in enough places, that'll be, I don't know. There are some variations. It's not just finding a place and wandering around it and then reading some text. Every now and then you'll get something that's a little different, like a set of caverns that are filling up. On the hourglass twins, for instance, there's a set of caverns on one side that fills up with sand. So you've got to get in there and get where you need to be before the whole thing fills up. Or you get crushed by the sand. And there are certain ruins you can't see there. There's little things like that, or a planet that's being bombarded by a sort of volcano moon until it's like surface the structural integrity of its crust gives way, and so the planet starts crumbling in on itself. In the loop, so certain parts of it become accessible only towards the end, and certain parts of it end up somewhere very different. So there's cool things going on, but there's a couple of things I still don't understand. But there's an objective that I've got in mind. There's a thing I know I think is very important to the plot, but I just haven't quite figured out how to get there. It's like I know where it is, but there's like an obstacle in the way that stopped me from getting there. Okay, this is the bad phase coming.
Oh dear.
Damn waves of cough. Right. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
But not like, I mean, I think we established it's not the best year, maybe last year. So
no, maybe not. No.
Some things maybe got extra recognition because of that, but that's fine. Good games. And this is a good one.
Yeah. As I say, I like what it's going for. Quite a bit. But perhaps it hasn't 100% landed it. Or maybe it's just the version I'm playing. Who knows? You know. Or maybe it's just my experience through it. I considered that as well. Like maybe the route I've gone to get through it is maybe not the most, oh, wow, oh, that's really cool kind of thing. Like for me, it's just like, all right, I've learned a thing.
And now on to the next thing.
And on to the next. Yeah, I haven't finished it yet, so I'll plug it away. I think that game is quite good for like medium length sessions.
Okay.
Like maybe give it an hour or two. Like don't play too many loops at once, because I think you do too many loops and you're just a bit burnt out from starting again and again and again.
Fair enough.
So there's that. I went back into Overwatch for a bit because they were doing their Year of the Rat celebration, and not a huge amount to add. That game is still a hell of a lot of fun to play. They haven't, even though there's been a lot of character changes and stuff, like in terms of how they play. I still think the balance is very good. They added a new mode for this thing, which I think is really fun. It's a capture the flag type, which I'm usually not a massive fan of, but they put the flag posts for both teams really close together. So you're like the battleground that you're fighting over is really quite small, and it revolves on like expert timing of like, oh, we've got everyone on the other team has died at this point, so we can go in and steal it like somewhat free, and it's almost like it's almost like territory control, because you just have to have the area locked down, but there's a thing you're supposed to be doing at the same time, and it kind of works. Like it's kind of neat. They call it Capture the Flag Blitz, which seems appropriate. And I think it's a good mode. Well done, Overwatch. This is the one thing Blizzard is doing right now, is still Overwatch. So there's that. All right. I'll save it for a second. Still plugging away at Wargroove. I did another act worth of missions. And then realized so the game gives you like stars at the end of every mission.
Right.
And then found a total of like how many stars there are in the game. And I'm barely scratched. I'm like a sixth of the way through this.
Man.
There's like there's a lot of stuff in this game. And they just added more because there's been a free update with three new commanders and three new and more maps and more challenges. So yay, good for them. Free updates. Woo! still on Game Pass. I'm still enjoying it. I'm having a better run of it than I was before. I haven't had so many missions where I've been failing recently, but I've been having more missions where I've been playing the game a lot slower, and so my ranks are terrible. I actually saw that the rank does go below C. I got as far down as an E by just playing a very turtle up tactic on one mission. It was one of those like lopsided missions, so I turtled up to try and get the AI to murder itself in stupid ways. And it's which totally worked, but yeah, not the quickest tactic. I think that game's good. I think Zach would quite enjoy it. As an Advanced Wars Lite kind of experience. So let's talk about Death Stranding. I finished that thing.
Oh, the end.
The end. There's a lot of end.
Predictably.
Yeah.
It's a Kojima game, after all.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, so I ended up marathoning this last weekend, the day before my half marathon, and because I got started getting seriously drawn into this, I ended up playing like an 8-hour solid session.
Oh my goodness!
I know, it's ridiculous. I did have to ask questions about myself afterwards, but like that's because like a good portion of that last 8 hours is just cutscene, and the story suddenly coming to life suddenly after like 40 odd hours, you get another 8 of just endless, oh, this is the main thing, suddenly all coming together. I say coming together, a good deal of it doesn't, but it's the main plot line finally. And so none of that stuff that's like that I thought was nonsense before about the Mama and Loch Ness storyline not being very good, or
yeah,
just the missteps in the conversations you have over email with people, and the weird flashbacks not really making any sense at all, and even fragile, or you know, however he wants to pronounce it, and she pronounces it differently every cutscene. It's quite
every
fun.
Time, yeah,
because she called herself. It's like, I'm fragile, but not that fragile in the last cutscene, and I'm like, okay,
fragile.
you're just taking the piss now. But I thought the stuff with it's frustrating because, like every Kojima project, I think there are some really, really interesting ideas in it. And I'm going to give him more credit for that because I think those ideas do, when you've seen the entirety of the two endings, because yeah, you get a credit sequence and then there's like a few hours more before you get another credit sequence. I think the ideas behind a lot of that stuff are really, really very interesting, but they just could have been done a lot better. Like, as I was saying before, you could cut down the game to about half its length, and if you just found a way of pacing like more of the story so it wasn't all in the last few hours, this would have been a way more compelling experience.
Yeah.
Had more to hook onto. You'd have more intrigue. You'd have more like, oh, I see what you would. I finally see what you were trying to go for. But I really wish I would have known that earlier, like to give me a bit more drive. Like, yeah, It's like a series that's just it's a bit like HBO stuff, I suppose. Nothing happens until the end, and then even then, you're not quite sure what you've just watched. It's a weird one. I sort of like it.
Yeah, I bet you do by now, having gone through all of that.
But kind of hate it at the same time because. Yeah. I mean, there are a few major plot points that are never really explained. Just exactly why these things exist and why the world is like this is never... I mean, I guess they couldn't, right? That's kind of the thing. It's like, who knows? But, why the... let's say the main thing is why that is and why she or it is what it is never really explained enough. You get to see the history of it, but not really the why. And it's it's just one of those like what could have been things. It's not as bad as Metal Gear Solid 5 for that, because that's obviously going to be worse because it was unfinished. But it's just like Kojima's got some skills here. I think like the way it was shot, especially some of the Mads, what happens with the Mads Mikkelsen storyline and how that relates to Die Hardman and how that relates to the president and all that stuff, I actually think is quite well done and well shot, especially like from a filmic point of view, it's quite interesting. But someone needs to just teach him how to pace a story. It's like you can't just explain everything at the end. I don't know. Are people on his team just scared, like to be like, "Hey, why don't you try this?" Or how about this? Or why don't their playtesters like go through and be like, and then they get to the 8-hour ending and they're just like, "Well, that was unexpected."
Yeah.
I don't know. That game is baffling. Like, I'm super, super happy that it exists. Don't get me wrong. It's like I think it's amazing that a game that weird with that budget can be made in this day and age.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a Metal Gear Solid 5 level budget, but they gave him a decent budget. And
oh yeah,
I mean, go do what you want to do with it.
I mean, they probably spent most of their budget on getting the actors in, right?
But maybe that was worth it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I mean, yeah. For some characters, yes. For some characters, no.
Yeah.
Troy Baker's character is kind of garbage, for instance, as it turns out. Like, there is no decent payoff to Higgs, which is he's just a pawn in the end, which is mild spoilers, I suppose. But he ends up being not interesting at all as a result.
Well, yeah, it's a shame.
But I'm glad I stuck with it, even if it was very long. And I won't be returning to it, even though it's one of those games where you can. The ending does have a sort of go back in time-y bit.
Right, yeah.
I think it drops you in at a specific point in the past before the ending. And then you can just go dick around in the world and troll everyone by putting structures in bad places. Bridges into the side of mountains, yes please. So Death Stranding, yeah. I'd maybe watch a YouTube video of those last few hours of gameplay if you want, if someone's put it up there, because it is nuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've done that with Metal Gear games in the past, so I'm sure it'd be quite fun to do with Death Stranding.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. Death Stranding. Thank you, Kojima. You need help, sir.
You need help. Okay. Cool.
I still can't say I recommend it to anyone. just because of how long it takes.
Yeah. But once you get through it, you feel differently.
I still don't really know if I like it, honestly. It just puts you in such a weird place. Like, it's... Just because of that, I don't know.
Maybe
I wouldn't say I wasn't entertained. How about? Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Like, I wouldn't say I wasn't entertained. How about that?
Okay, well, that's good. I wouldn't say I wasn't. Classic, yeah. Non-negative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Righto.
Oh, and they patched in an option apparently that I would have really liked to have had at the start of the game, where every time you came into contact with the BTs, you'd get this like sequence where your, you know, the flowery robot thing on your back, the Odra deck, would like sort of notify you that you're about to enter this area. So you'd have this like, it would appear and then spin around for a bit while a bit of itself got ready, and then it would go, you're in the BTO. But this took quite a while, and it was annoying if you were popped into an area and be like, oh crap, no, I'm in the BT zone. I need to come out of that for a moment so I can save, or because it doesn't let you save when you're in danger areas.
Right.
And then you go back in it, and then you get the whole sequence again, and it's like, ah, oh, that's really annoying. But they patched in the ability to minimize that. And I thought I'd just missed the option for the whole game, because it came up in a tooltip and a loading screen.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, holy crap, I need to turn this on. That's fantastic.
But you found out later it had been patched in.
It had been patched in, yeah.
Okay.
So I wasn't a complete idiot. But for the love of God, turn that option on. You won't regret it. Death Stranding.
Cool. The big game.
Yeah.
What's next on your plate?
Well, finishing Outer Wilds, probably. Or trying to finish it. God knows, I might get stuck. But Greece has turned up on Game Pass. That super arty platformer thing that I really like the look of. So like, I'm planning to give that a shot next. I'm just waiting for, like, Yakuza Kiwami 2 to come out on Game Pass, because we know that's coming.
It's coming.
The year of Yakuza never ends.
Okay.
Oh, shit. So, we forgot an important bit of news that we're not really going to talk about much.
Oh, really? What's that?
They released that new Trend of Five Persons 7 remake.
Oh, yeah. And I specifically am not
Rob is specifically not watching it. That's why we're not going to talk about it much.
Yeah. Because it sounds like they're going a bit too heavy
giving
on the...
Giving too much away.
Yes, yeah. This is going to be my mild spoilers that I've already told Rob, so this is even spoilers for him at this point. But basically, that trailer shows everything in Midgar, which is basically everything in that game, except you assume there's also more... Well, you don't assume. You know that there is more stuff than there used to be.
Yeah.
But if you... If you know the story of Final Fantasy VII, you're like, yeah, that's pretty much almost everything that happens in Midgar. There's like three specific things that I could think of that they haven't shown out of the whole of Midgar.
Yeah, I mean, they're entering... I thought where they'd left it prior to this trailer was like, okay, you've shown quite a bit, but don't go any further.
Yeah. But they did. They showed it all.
Yeah. So I'm going to save myself.
Well, you know, as you say, it's not actually spoilers because you already know exactly what's going to happen.
Sure.
And I think that I was trying to think of, like, what would that trailer be like to someone who didn't know anything about Final Fantasy VII? Is it like too much spoilers for a new person? And it's like, well, maybe.
Probably.
It's like, it's not.
I guess it's all out of context if you don't know it.
Yeah. It's like not in order at all, so it's like it's a complete like random mashup. It jumps around in the timeline of that game, so you wouldn't necessarily. But there are like some quite major plot points that are meant to be surprises, really, that they show. So, you know, maybe don't watch that trailer if you want to be surprised at all. But, you know, new stuff. New guy turned up again, whatever he's called. He's got a weird name, and I've heard people say it several times, and I always keep forgetting it. I want to call him Roach, but it's not Roach. It's like, oh, it's Roche, like R-O-C-H-E.
Roche.
I'm pretty sure that's it. New soldier guy.
Roach, hasn't he been in one of the Call of Duty games?
That sounds about right, but I'm
Roach
sure there's
the
another
horse,
game I played that has Roach in as well.
In The Witcher, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the horse.
Oh, is it? Okay.